It's not easy to know. It's not easy to know what to get anybody. I told you, I always feel like my face is never excited enough, right? Like, yes, like I always feel like I'm either overdoing it or I feel ungrateful. These are obvious situations of being ungrateful, right? But I think, if I'm honest, many of the things that I've been given, I'm not so thankful for. Like, I don't know that I'm not so much different than the children pouting and crying. There's a story in my wife's family. Her younger sister, Angie, for her birthday, wanted to go to Universal Studios. And she had seen these commercials. If those of you that are older might remember, they had a new exhibit, the King Kong exhibit. And like in the commercial, King Kong like picks up the roller coaster and like picks you up and shakes you and all this. So Angie's sold, like, that's what I want for my birthday. They lived in Southern California, so they go to Universal Studios. Well, obviously when you go on the ride, King Kong doesn't actually pick up the tram and shake it and all this. So she goes through, and on the other side is like, you got to be kidding me. This is the ride? I didn't pay for this. She didn't pay for anything, but this is not what I wanted. And so she has, like Kel's mom has to get her aside and like, your father has spent a lot of money, like you will be grateful. And like try to get her out of this funk that she was in. But this is what happens, right? We have expectations and these expectations don't get met. We think we're owed. I deserve, right? Or this person doesn't deserve. In each of the sermons, we're going to talk a little bit about the logic of gift versus the logic of economy. And I mentioned this last week. You know, the logic of economy or the logic of exchange is debits and credits. You work this long, you get paid this much. So we read the story of the vineyard workers. He hired people early in the day. He hired people late in the day. They all get paid the same and they're upset. I would be upset because we think, but you should only get what you deserve, what's owed you. So it's always about this logic of investment. We're going to invest in the youth, invest in a relationship, like to get a payout. But it's always this way. I feel this a lot. I feel indebted to certain people. I feel superior to others. But the logic of gift is free. The logic of gift is the logic of grace. It's the logic of no strings. The logic of gift is, will you receive it or reject it? That's it. That's your choice. Do you take it or not? Every candle is about a gift that is free, that cannot be bought. It's peace. It is love. It is joy. Will you receive these as gifts? Because they're around you right now. But do you want to know how I act to the love that's offered me or the joy? New bike! Right? I am so focused. Emily shares, and I can't tell you how much this is me, that Christmas has become a time of grading, of projects last minute, of dealing with whining students who can't get things in on time, of trying to figure out gifts and travel and cold weather. Why is that my Christmas? I choose this. I choose to see what I see, and I choose to be blind to what I am blind to. I decide to be ungrateful. So I want to focus on just one aspect of gift giving and receiving today. And we're going to look at different aspects throughout. I just want to think about, what would it look like to receive ourselves as gifts? Like, what if I thought of myself as given? Not owed, not deserves, not less than, not broken, not a mistake, but just given. Like, Joe Bankard is a gift, given. And if I thought of myself like that, I think I would see the things I'm good at and not so good at differently. So we read this beautiful passage in Psalms. It's a famous passage about being knit together in your mother's womb. This beautiful passage about God being present no matter where we go. How could we possibly get away from the Spirit of God? We can't. In our joy and in our sorrow, in the grave, in the heights, God is there. I do want to make one thing clear. I don't personally read Psalms literally because Psalms are songs and they're poems. It's intended to evoke images. This notion of knitting someone together in the mother's womb has been taken very literally, but again, I don't think we read poetry that way typically. And I have a hard time interpreting the passage literally for lots of reasons. If God knit each of us together in the womb, it seems like the babies we have could look anyway. Like Kel and I could have a baby that looked Chinese. Or Kel and I could have a baby with dark skin or something else. But that doesn't ever seem to happen. We have a pretty good sense of how babies get shaped. And it's usually half of my genetic code and half of her genetic code. And together it shapes a baby. And sometimes within the womb, that child ends up with severe disabilities. I have a hard time thinking that that's what happens. Sometimes children don't make it through the process of development, and I have a hard time giving credit to God. That's just me. I'm not saying you have to. I had a discussion with my mom about this, and she couldn't disagree with me more. So you disagree with me, you're in really good company. I have a hard time looking and reading Psalms, literally. I think what Psalms is doing here is creating this wonderful, lovely, provocative image of a life where God is with us no matter where we are. God is present to us even in the womb. God is present to us even in the midst of loss and suffering and strife. It creates this image that says, I am a gift from God. You are a gift from God. Unique, individual, little snowflakes. No two people the same. What if I really believed that I was a gift given? My choice would be then to just receive who I am or to reject that. And I think far too often my desire is to reject it. Far too often my desire is to say, I'm not tall enough. I'm not happy enough. I don't desire the right things. I wish I were smarter. Why couldn't I have a memory like so-and-so? Why couldn't I write like the philosopher down the street? Why can't I? And I begin to think and see all the things that are lacking in me. All the ways in which I am a spoiled brat who doesn't want what I was given. But this is all I have. Right? I am created. I have been given. Will I accept who I am? What I am good at and what I am not good at, and see it as a gift. I think if I could do that, I'd be much more likely to give myself away to others. But we'll talk about that next week. Right? If I see myself as given, blessed, a gift from God, then I would want to give myself away, because that's why I was put here. I was put here as a gift that I might be given away. And when I'm stuck on all the things I am not, thinking about all the ways I fail, all the ways God should have made me different, then I can't give myself away as a gift because I'm stuck complaining about what I was given. I'm stuck saying, I was a girl toy. You were fearfully and wonderfully made to be given to others. I think the other thing I do, which it's sad, I think I'm guilty of both of these things. Sometimes I think like I'm a mistake and I'm not the way I want to be or that I think I should be, and so I'm not grateful for what I've been given, like as a human. But the other thing I'll do is I'll like slingshot onto the other side, which is something like, this life is mine, I deserve, I am owed something better than this. Something more than this. Things should turn out differently for me. I mean, I'm Joe after all. And I see my life as mine. My stuff is mine. My house, my children is mine. But again, I think this is the logic of economy. Is it good enough? Do I get what I'm owed? I work harder than what I make. But the logic of gift is something like, your life is not your own, but God's, because you have been given. You didn't create yourself, you didn't bring yourself into being, you were given. So I'm not owed. I'm here, in some sense, to recognize that all I am is God's. So that my things aren't my own, they've been given. And my choice is to say, will I be a steward of what I've been given? Will I use this for the kingdom? Or will I look at how I don't have enough? The logic of gift is something like, The logic that says, my children are not my own. My children are God's. They're not mine, my kids, because then I get to treat them any way I want. But when they're God's and I'm a steward of God's children, I see them differently. I treat them differently. I've been given the wonderful gift of being a shepherd, a steward of my children that are God's. I don't tithe 10%, I keep 90%, because it's all God's. It's been given. I'm not owed. I find it interesting how much complaining occurs in our country. The wealthiest country that's probably ever existed. We live like only kings lived in the past, eating what we want, feasting. And how much do we complain about what we do and don't have, and how much the government takes or doesn't take, and how much this or that is a problem? We're so caught up in all that we don't have, and all that we haven't been given, and all that we lack, that I can't help but feel like that child on the ground crying about a new bike. What would it be like to shift and think, I am a gift. I am enough. I have been given. My life is not my own, it's God's. Some of you might think, I'm a gift and I'm beautifully and wonderfully made by God. But I blew that. I trashed that gift. I messed that up. Some of you have done things that you feel like you can't come back from. The beautiful message, right, we get within the Gospels is it's not that you've just been given once, but that God is working very hard that you might receive yourself back as a gift. Over and over again. So think of how many stories where Moses kills the Egyptian and God has to give Moses back once more as a gift. Or think about King David. Or the story today of the woman in adultery. So here's a woman, beautifully and wonderfully made, a gift from God, and she's ruined it. Here she is with some man who's not her husband. And they throw her before Jesus and they're supposed to kill her. And Jesus, I'd love to know what he was writing, by the way. I like to think it's the sins of everyone that's around. I'd like to think he's just writing all the sins of all the people who have a rock. And each one will eventually leave. Has anyone condemned you? No, sir, no one. Then neither do I. Go and sin no more. Receive yourself back as a gift. Can you do that? Can you receive yourself back? As a gift, restored, given, given to serve, given to love, worthy of that, redeemed, whole. He provides grace before she asks. He provides grace before she changes her ways. Will you receive yourself back? Because there's nothing you have done, nothing you could do that will separate you from God's love. That's what I hear in Psalms 139. That's what I hear. Nothing you could do where God isn't offering yourself you back as a gift. This is the logic of baptism. And if any of you are interested in being baptized, maybe you haven't, I'm happy to, I'd love to do a baptism service, maybe when it's warmer. But the logic of baptism is you've decided that you're going to die to self, that the old will be washed away, and that you are going to emerge from the waters a new creation, a citizen of the kingdom of God, a child of God, recognizing that. And so I like dunking better than sprinkling because the dunking is like you're under. You go all the way. You drowned in the waters to come back as a gift, receiving yourself back. And we're going to take communion today. And communion, each time you take it, you're actually reaffirming your baptism vows. I don't know if you know that, but historically this is true. Every time you take communion, you are renewing, reaffirming, I am gift. So today, specifically, right, I want you to focus as you take it and you dip it and you write the bread and the juice and you're receiving yourself back as a gift. You're saying yes to God. I am ready to be made new, ready to be restored, ready to be redeemed so that I can go be broken and poured out for the world, so that I can be given to others. What if we believed that? What if you believed you were enough? exactly what you've been given, how would your life look differently? If you have your hymnals, I'm going to start on page 9 for communion. The Eucharist is this beautiful symbol. Each time we take it, it's like the perfect sacrament because it does so many things so simply. It reminds us of the past, and we remember what Christ has done. We remember a God who does not let us suffer alone, but takes on the suffering of the world in His very body. And that's beautiful in and of itself to remember. But it also is an image of our future. It points us to the future banquet table where we will all be united in peace around a banquet feast. This is the way the Bible describes the end. A feast. Isn't that wonderful? Food and laughter and family and wine and fun. I mean juice. And fun. What a beautiful image of the future. And we come to remember. We have hope. Death is not the end. And the Eucharist also points us to our present. But as I take it, I'm receiving myself back as a gift that I might go and be a gift to others. I live Eucharistically. So in this one moment of bread and juice, we have the past, the present, and the future. If you would read the bolded sections, I will read the sections unbolded. I'm going to start just below the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image to be gifts as gifts and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. Drink this blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The ushers will release you. Josh, if you would release this section first. You'll come this way. You'll take the bread and the juice and go back to your seats. And then we'll transition and you'll take and go around this way. Would you come, babe? Body of Christ, broken for you, Saul.
Blood of Christ,
broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you.
Blood of